Thank you that this night is becoming your own prayer.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you see. Lord, there is indeed that which we need in the help of the time. So, Father, we come to you for grace and for mercy. We thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ would be with us. Lord, we pray that during these meetings, the utmost in all, that thou would get all the glory.
Amen.
Thy will be accomplished in each and every aspect of the meeting. Lord, as the word goes forth, I pray it goes forth in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I pray you convict and convince and convert. Different ones here, even this very night. Lord, we pray. We thank you for the holy man. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in the hearts of our people. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, the sure thing in an unsure world. Father, we thank you for these things. We thank you, Lord, you didn't leave us alone in this world. Lord, you said you've come to make your abode in us, and that you are our God and we are your people. And that, Lord, that we're pilgrims and strangers passing through, having no continuing city, look for one to come,
Amen.
Who builds and maker is God Himself. Lord, we thank you for this. We praise you. Lord, we lift up our voices to thee in praise and thanksgiving this day. Not today, as being from the world, what they say thanksgiving, but Lord, as thy people every day, we give you thanks, offer sacrifice, praise, continue thanks to your name. Knowing in that name, all is provided.
Amen.
And all is sufficient. In that name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 22, it says, it is of the Lord's mercy.
Amen.
And we are not consumed because His compassion fell on us. They are new every morning.
Amen.
Great is thy faith.
Amen.
This verse has been a blessing to me because in the past year and everything like that, there's a lot of defeat in our Christian lives and everything like that. And if I learned something from this verse, it would be, first of all, a Christian knows that we ought to be consumed. You know, what we do in our lives, the way we live sometimes, and you know, we ought to be consumed. But you know, I've learned, I know that it's not hard to try to live for the Lord. It's not hard to figure out how sorry you are. But you know, you don't need to stop there. You know, you need to learn something about the Lord's mercy.
Amen.
It's the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed.
Amen.
You know, Jesus, we read in the Gospels, Jesus is always going about, you know how Jesus is always having compassion on people. You know, what we need to do is realize the compassion that the Lord has. We can get defeated if we want, because we deserve death and all this. We know about that. But we need to not stop there and realize the Lord's mercy. That it's not that we shouldn't, that we're not consumed, because He has compassion on us. And if we'd ever learn that, I think our lives would be a lot different.
Amen.
You know, we learn about how bad we are, but we also need to learn about it, the Lord's mercy. And in this past year, and I was just thinking about it, the Lord's mercy. Boy, there's many a time I've been consumed. And I just thank the Lord that Leanne was talking about, think of something that you ought to thank the Lord that you're really thankful for. And I was just thinking, thanking the Lord for His mercy.
Amen. Praise the Lord. They're new every morning.
Amen.
Great is His
faithfulness. Amen. Magnify the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 3:11.
God had the opportunity to witness the man with Brother Mike over there recently. And during the conversation, the guy was asking some questions on what we believed, and he was asking us if we believed there was life on other planets out there in outer space, you know? And all I could think of was this verse here, you know, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, you know? But I want to give some thanks to the Lord today for some things that I do know.
Amen.
Oh, I may not know if there's life out there on the other side. No, there's some things I do know. And they're right there in chapter 3, verse 15. I know that and that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
One thing I know where salvation is.
Amen.
And I know that salvation is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know it's not in religion.
Amen.
And I know it's not in baptism.
Amen.
And I know it's not in good work.
Amen.
I know it's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I know I'm saved. I know I'm alive. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
And there's something else I know in verse 16. And all Scripture is given by inspiration.
Amen.
I know that I have the Word of God.
Amen.
I know that it's inspired God.
Amen.
I know that I can stand out against any man in any place with the Word of God, and I can be right. And I can judge all things against God's standard.
Amen.
And stand knowing that I'm speaking with the Word, with the authority of God.
Amen.
There's nothing else that I know. That all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, and all good work. I know that I have a standard on how to live my life. I know that I have the Word of God, that I can walk day to day, and I know when I'm right, and I know when I'm wrong. I know there's a place that I can go for guidance. I know there's a place that I can go for reproof.
Amen.
I know there's a place that I can go for comfort.
Amen.
Amen. I know some amazing things.
Amen.
And today, I'm thankful.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. That blessed today, I was thinking about often what I could be thankful about. And could you turn to chapter 10, Hebrews?
Amen.
Amen.
And for a long time, you know, I always had this problem about salvation. You know, I know for the fact that salvation, you know, as far as the Word of God says, that it's sure and it's something that you can know for sure.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, when I die, I'll go to heaven, but I knew it because the Word says so. But today, for some reason, I just had assurance that, another assurance that just came from the Word of God that I've read over and over. But it just jumped out at me, and I'm like,
amen.
Amen.
Let it jump, Lord.
Amen.
Touch more, Lord.
By the wish of we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Amen.
And every priest standing daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Well, I read through it many times, but two words caught my attention, and that was sat down. I mean, he came and he completed his work.
Amen.
I mean, he done his work, he sat down.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Two,
amen.
Nothing can add to or take away.
Amen.
Amen.
And that is blessing me today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
He rests, we can rest. 1 John chapter 5.
Amen.
1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Amen. We've been spoken in that flat on unknowing and different knowing and knowledge. Knowing the same. And so many times we run into people that ask us, well, how do you know you have eternal life? Well, I don't know, but how do you know? And verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life.
Amen.
And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. How do you know? We know. We have the Word. We believe on the name of the Son of God, and we know we have eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I've got a real blessed
way.
And the book of John, chapter 15, here's the verse. I just got a real blessing out of it, thinking about, you know, how unsure everything is. And sometimes in our families, you know, with mom and daddy fighting and Rose going off on a deep end and everything, there's just an assurance that just blesses my heart. And verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so it God loves me. And it blesses my heart.
Amen.
You know, if God loves Jesus, Jesus loves me. He's always higher than I am and I was and I'll always be. Doesn't matter because He loves me.
Amen.
And it's assured and it's so simple. Even Justin can understand that. Jesus loves me. And that's the greatest love there is. And He'll never leave you after thinking. You can cast all your care upon Him because He cares.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
John 9. Verse 25. It says, and He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no,
amen.
I know not. One thing I know,
amen.
When I was blind, now I see.
Amen.
Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not.
Amen.
One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, but now I see. You know, my friends, I don't know about being running around. I don't know about being walking the Lord the next day. I don't know what's going to happen, but one thing I know,
One day I was lost, but now I'm saved.
Amen.
And I can be assured that I know I have eternal life.
Amen.
Hey, my friends, it's amazing. The verse before that says, we know that this man is a sinner.
They did that?
They knew?
No, they didn't know.
They thought they knew. But my man says, one thing I know. Once I was blind, but now I see.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Have a later time,
praise the Lord.
Amen. If we're all talking about salvation,
amen.
I tell you what, on Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
No, we should just say to you, just give thanks to the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank
praise
you,
Lord.
Amen. Especially today.
Amen.
Tell you what. Chapter 2, verse 13.
Amen.
But we are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, because beloved of the Lord. Because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation,
amen.
Sanctification, for the spirit, and belief of the truth.
Amen.
For unto he called you by our gospel, unto the obtaining of the glory of the
Lord.
Amen.
Therefore, brethren, stand steadfast and hold the tradition which he has been taught. Whether by word or by the
speech. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Starting with verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who has delivered us in the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
11, it says, no, sorry, 10. Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
I will be exalted on Peter, and I will be exalted on you. This past couple weeks, I've been real nervous because I didn't have faith to stay in there. I was getting all of us tidy. And then I was having my devotions in the morning, and I came to this, and it said, I am, and be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
All I can do is just lay everything on Him.
And you know, as I read chapter 8, a thought came to my mind. What does Jesus say about himself? Now, I read to you what John said about Jesus and what the word in chapter 1 said about Jesus. Now, I began to think, what does Jesus say about himself in John chapter 8? What is Jesus' testimony of himself? Look down at verse 12. Now, we know the Bible over there in chapter 1 said he's the light. Well, he says it here about himself. Jesus saith again unto them, Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
I'm thankful the world's got a light. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, most of the world's running around in darkness. I'm thankful there's a light. The light came. As I said, that old man says, man, praise God, I'm cracked up where the light shone through.
Amen.
I'm thankful that the light got into me. But now, believing friend, let me tell you something. The one you serve is the light.
Amen.
Now, we use light in here because it's dark. I mean, if we didn't have this light, we wouldn't be having this meeting very well. Or we'd have to be doing it all by memory, and some of you'd be lost. Amen? You wouldn't have much to go on if it's dark. I had an old preacher one time, he's 80-something years old, he's preaching for me. He's been a missionary in Arkansas when it was an outlaw territory. And so the light all went out. I mean, I guess all over the whole county. It was a country church, you know, county, like County Seat Church, something like that. The light went out over the whole county. That old boy didn't miss a note. He said, just keep your seats, fellas. I used to preach when they shot the lights out in the saloon where I was preaching. Keep right on going. He said, my God, the light of the world. He quoted every verse that he took. He didn't lose. He didn't miss a step in his Bible. He just kept right on. He quoted the verses. Went right on out of his preaching on trees in Scripture. I never forget that sermon because of the circumstances, but preaching on trees in Scripture, he didn't miss a lick. You see, he had the light already in him, and we've got this light tonight to guide us through darkness.
Amen.
And I put the lights on that old car out there, and it guides me through darkness.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Amen. This old world is in the darkness of sin. Right. This old world is in the darkness of confusion. This old world is in doubt and in trouble. Amen. And Jesus said, I'm the light to guide you through it.
Amen.
You know what he said? He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. But you'll have a light of life. I'm thankful for that. You know, some days you may go through a dark spot. As a believer, you may go through a dark week, you may go through a dark month, you might even go through a dark year. And I tell you what, old Job went through a dark time. Now, I don't know whether 7 years passed on Job or 7 months passed on Job or just exactly 7 weeks passed on Job. I'm not sure how fast all that stuff took place. But spiritually speaking, Job was in the dark. I mean, there were some things happening beyond him that he could not see. All he saw was disaster on every hand. He said, oh, goodness, there go over crops. What would you do if all your crops went tonight? Huh? We'd have a tearful crying meeting right here tomorrow night, wouldn't we? Everybody be praying for you. Oh, let's pray for Brother Zorba. They got him money left. I mean, you know, I mean, how's he going to do this? How's he going to do that? Boy, Job was in darkness. And, oh, then they came back and said, oh, your kids are gone. Your kids are gone. Job didn't know Romans 8:28.
Amen.
Job didn't know Ephesians 5:20. Job didn't understand the promises of Philippians 4. Job didn't even have the Psalms all 90 to read. He didn't have any of that. He didn't have the Word of God in his hand like you and I had.
He had a faith in the living God.
Amen. You know what? That faith sustained him and carried him over, but he walked through a dark, dark, dark time. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And believer, I don't know how dark things may be for you tonight. I don't know where you may be or what your trail may lead you through, but I want you to know in the darkness of this old world and the confusion of this old world, Jesus says, I'm the light.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Well, there's two or three other things. Look at verse 14. He said, Jesus answered and said to him, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came. And whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Because ye judge after the flesh. You know, I just like to pull one little statement out of there. My record is true. What did Jesus say about himself? He said, my record is true.
Amen?
Somebody had some young servicemen here this morning and they didn't believe his record was true. Oh, we can't believe that book. We can't believe this. Can't believe that. But I want you to know, friend, Jesus himself said, my record is true. He's a faithful and true witness.
Amen.
I'm thankful I've got a true record. Amen. Brother, I'm thankful for the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm thankful that the Word of God came my way and I got a hold of it somewhere down the line. I grabbed a hold of a promise here and there. And God Almighty set light in my life and light for my past. And I'm thankful that I've got one that gave me a true record. Not going to lie to me. He's going to give me something that will carry me through.
He said, my record is true.
You look down another verse down there, verse 16. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true. Amen. For I'm not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It's written in your law that the testimony to men is true.
Amen.
Now he says, my judgment is true. You may not like things that have happened to you so far. You may look at your life and you may feel like, well, you know, I haven't been treated fairly. You know, think. Did somebody feel that way? Huh? How about at work? They didn't treat you fair down the road. How about school? Everybody treat you fair? All your friends treat you fair? Do they all treat you fair? Huh? You may not think that things have happened to you just like they often happen, but you know, I've got to believe that God has to let it happen or it can't come to me.
Right.
You know that? God's got to let it happen. Whether he said it or not, you might get an argument on that. But if it came your way, my friend, God had to let it get to you.
That's right.
Because he can put a hedge about it and stop it.
Right.
He can let it happen to one person, not happen to the fellow standing right beside him.
Right.
Two people are going to be driving down the road, one is going to be wiped out by a drunk and lose his whole family, and the other is going to ride on home without a scrape on his car. I believe that my judgment is true about the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne. I believe his judgment is true when he comes back to judge the nations. I believe his judgment is true when he comes to the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
I believe his judgment is true when he comes Right.
Amen.
You
know,
if you get that in your head, you walk a happy
way. Amen.
Come on now. Tomorrow he takes something away from you, that's the Lord, your judgment is true.
Amen.
Come on, your judgment. You jumped out of the knees, Lord. He said, I'm going away to build a place for you.
Amen. I'm going away to build a place for you. And I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself.
Amen.
If you don't believe that, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior of the world and as your personal Savior, you will die in your sin. You know what he said? He said, I am he. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
God bless the Psalm, Psalm 25, verse 15. It says, mine eyes ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. You know, I was realizing that David wasn't the first one, you hear me? And he said his eyes were ever toward the Lord. They weren't just online, they were ever toward the Lord, ever waiting on him, ever seeking him, ever waiting on him before his word, for his needs, for his strength. He said, before he should pluck my feet out of the net. And I don't know if y'all ever seen a bird or not, a little bird, or a bird, not a bird caught in some kind of a string or something. I was watching a bird ball back, stuck in a string. The more you get close to it, the thing starts floating around. It gets caught even worse. The more you get close to it, it gets scared. That's how we are. When we got a problem, we got our lives wrapped around each other, ourselves. And the Lord comes near and goes,
that's right.
And finally, we give up. And we cry to the Lord. Like David was saying, he said, my eyes are ever toward the Lord. We put our eyes just close to him, on him. And the Lord takes out that measurement of the man ourselves. That was a blessing for me to realize that in chapter 29. The whole chapter is good, but in verse 9, there's one little thing I really enjoyed. The voice of the Lord maketh the hind and calf and discovereth the force.
Amen.
And in his temple, does everyone speak of his glory?
Amen.
I don't know what it's about. This is the temple in heaven, but boy, this is really a blessing, though. In his temple, does everyone speak of his glory?
Amen.
Anything else? This is his glory.
Amen.
That's what we're here for.
Amen.
Can we stand up and sing something?
Amen.
Thank you.
good and upright and
noble. 2 Corinthians 4.
Amen.
Praise. Brother over here was talking about Christ being the light of the world. And he's been the light of the world since he's created the world.
Yeah.
You know, there was a day that I came in this world, and I came in darkness because of Adam. I fell in Adam when Adam fell in the garden. And I came in darkness, blinded by sin and blinded by Satan. For 25 years of my life, I lived while the light of the world was in the world, but I lived in darkness. I want you to understand that this evening, that everyone here that was saved and is saved lived in darkness, even though the light of the world was there. And 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light, to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart.
Amen.
For God created this world and this universe, and it was void without form. God said, let there be light.
Amen.
As the spoken word of God, light entered in the darkness.
Amen.
Let me say something to you tonight, and something that will bless your heart if you think about it. Something that will cause you to thank the God of glory, the God of heaven. It was God who spoke light into your heart.
Amen.
It was God. And the glory goes to God tonight.
Amen.
You're saved.
Amen.
One of my favorite verses for preaching on salvation is Romans 4 and verse 5. Says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Look at 5, verse 6. Says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
In due time. God can justify the ungodly.
Even if it doesn't work. Amen.
Hebrews 7:24.
Amen.
I don't know if you ever read it before, but if you haven't read it, you ought to read it. It's really a blessing. Hebrews 7, a lot of things about the Lord Jesus, his priesthood, and many things are real blessings. There's one thing I want to bring out. Especially if I'm going to read it. He's about to preach down there in Mexico, because so much against what the doctrine of the Catholic Church, that's really messed to me even in my life. It says, but this man, because he contendeth forever, ever, has an unchangeable priesthood.
Amen.
Wherefore he is able also to save him the other those that come to God by him.
Amen.
Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Amen.
You know, them Catholic priests down there, they don't ever live to make intercession for them people. They live maybe 30, 40, 50 years while they're priests to make intercession, but they don't live forever. But the Lord Jesus says, he has to continue forever and has an unchangeable manhood, and also that he lives for he ever liveth to make it up for him. And I thank the Lord that when I call on him that one day, he saved me the other moment.
Amen.
You can't be saved any more than just going to heaven. He's much greater than going to heaven for eternity. And that's the other moment. And he saved me the other moment because I came to God by him. Not by my own works, not by baptism, not by any other religion in the world. But I came unto God by him.
Amen.
And he is the high priest, the priest of being
broken. Amen.
As you sing that song, the wonderful grace of Jesus, this is Tammy in Ephesians chapter 2, 5, and 9.
Amen.
Amen.
Even when you were dead in sin, have risen up together with Christ, by grace you are saved.
Amen.
No, it's just the grace that the Christ saved me, because I was in the world of sin.
Amen.
Amen. 8:9. For what grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God.
Amen.
It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And there's a lot of things that are cool, and I think that if you have to do a lot of special things, say like such a thing as to be saved. And right here it shows in the Word of God, it's only by grace.
Amen.
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 Praise
the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have to prepare an Ephesians 4, Ephesians 1, verse 3, verse 2. Blessed be the God and Father of all Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the doctrine of truth by Jesus Christ in Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin to the riches of His grace, wherein He has established toward us in all wisdom and truth, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will.
Amen.
That we should be the praise of His glory and first of His life, in whom we also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our redemption, of the purchase of possession, and to the praise of His glory. Now there's some things in the Bible that you read and it seems that there is no exception, no matter how many times you read it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading this just a while ago, and I was thinking that, you know, we were God chose us before the foundation of the world. And why? Because of His good pleasure, for His own, for His right here to the good pleasure of His will. And I was thinking one time we had a meeting here one morning and and it really made me think, you know, why did He save me? You know, He could have saved someone else that was a lot better than me. And you know, that's what we really have to thank the Lord about it.
Amen.
We don't need much explanation to just praise itself.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 10. And thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless them all.
Amen.
For the good land which they have given
thee.
I know there's a lot of people in this world that didn't have a meat today. We're full.
Amen.
And, the Lord has given us good land to live.
Amen.
Some people are not born this way. I don't know why I was born here.
Praise
the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead. All right.
Jeremiah
chapter 20. Your brother Tim was preaching on that. You know, greater than faithful is on their applications, you know. A couple times this year, you know, we come for Thanksgiving meeting, we reflect back on the year, you know, and see the Lord and how He's blessed in our lives. And there's a lot of marriage in this past
year. Amen.
Amen. It's a blessing.
Can I repeat that one more time?
What? Jeremiah 20?
No. Go ahead, we're going to make sure we get that on tape.
There's a lot of things that happen in this year. And, you know, if it weren't for the grace of God, I said, we wouldn't be having this year.
Right.
Some of us hot shot spiritual brothers, we think we're that man, you know, that's standing in the gap, you know. We're the man sent from God like John, you know. I'm standing for the faith. You know. Yeah, it's because His mercy.
Right.
Because it says, He abides faith.
Amen.
We believe that, He abides faith, we cannot deny Himself.
Amen.
You know? And I got to, you know, a couple of times this year, I had to confess, and I said, I came to a place where Jeremiah did. Verse 7, he comes out with a statement that is really amazing. He says, oh Lord, I'm with you. Thou art stronger than I, that's no problem. He says, and I prevail. He says, I am derision daily, it's like confusion. He says, everyone mocking me. For since I spake, I cried out, and cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me in Jerusalem daily. Then said I will not make mention of him, or speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You know, there was a couple of things that came about in the life of Jeremiah that brought him to this place. And one of the first things was in verse 2, it says this guy, pastor comes up, and he says in verse 2, it says, and pastor smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the spot. Jeremiah suffered physical abuse.
Right.
Now, I dare say that none of us this year have suffered physical abuse. I haven't. No one come up and roughed me up a bit because I was preaching somewhere. Okay. What we suffer is what I read over there in verse 7. It says, everyone mocketh me.
Yeah.
Okay. We suffer the verbal abuse, but and the physical abuse isn't there. We live in a pretty laid-back society. Everybody just kind of says, well, you know, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and you know, they just kind of flow, go with the flow. There's no physical abuse there. And maybe that's a testimony of our lives before the Lord. We're not standing like we ought to, you know. But the second thing that Jeremiah suffered, that verbal abuse, maybe cuts a little bit deeper than the physical abuse. Because you find over there in the New Testament, when the physical abuse came upon the church, well, they scattered. They didn't quit preaching. They just scattered and preached everywhere, you know. In fact, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of the Lord. But I tell you what, that verbal abuse, that seems to cut a little bit different today. I mean, you know, I think I would be able to stand physical abuse more than verbal abuse. When them words go out, man, they cut.
Right.
And they go deeper than the fingers, than the physical, you know? They really do. And that was the second thing that Jeremiah suffered in. And I would dare say that we don't suffer much of this either.
Right.
And then when we do, we have the wrong attitude. My boss ran me off, I guess about 2 weeks ago from the job. I was putting this into a guy there, and he says, you know, I don't sound anti-God or anything. He really jumped off the floor, you see. And I thought, I've really been physically abused or verbally abused. And I'm all mad and upset about it, you know. They stand back and talk about beer and women and guns and cars and everything. But, boy, talk about the Lord, you know.
Right.
And they keep it off the floor. Well, yeah, but he was wrong for that. But, you know, I had the wrong attitude. I wanted to lash out against him in revenge. And I said, well, who do you think you are, son, when I talk about it? Well, what did I expect when I was first acting? Did I expect to say, oh, pay the Lord, I'm a friend. He was put into prison, and then he says everyone mocks me, and he makes a mention in another verse down there. He says in verse 10, says my familiar's wife. Mm-hmm. Well, even the friends of Jeremiah watched what he was saying, listened to what he said, and watched it, and they said we're going to catch him on the cross. You see? Is even his friend. But there was a third thing that came Jeremiah's way, and a guy, when he said one thing, said spiritual delusion. So I should have said what he said. I just said for a moment. He said he thought God is tricky. He said, Lord, you gave me a word, and it was the word of the Lord, and he's prophesying judgment's coming, and at this time judgment hasn't come. I mean, Israel's doing okay. And he sees the prosperity, and he says, Lord, you deceived. He says, I'm in confusion. And he says, I'm getting buffeted, and my friends are making fun of me. He says, I'm just going to quit. And I tell you what, there's been a couple of times that I took your life. You make a step for the Lord, a step of faith, and things just don't go quite the way you expect them to go.
Right.
And you know, the guy says one thing, he says, don't doubt nothing when you saw the light.
Amen.
You know, I doubted when I saw the light, you know. And I forgot about what the Lord said to me.
Amen.
So Jeremiah came to the place. You know, he was a prophet of God. And I'm not above Jeremiah. And I don't think anyone is in his room is in. But you know, I don't come below God. I'm below Jeremiah either. You know? God's not a respected person. And he can speak through me or Jeremiah just say it. But he comes down, you know, and he makes a new commitment. You know, he says, the word of God was in my heart.
Amen.
It was like burning fire. And he says, I couldn't stay. You know, he got weary with forbearing. He got weary with not doing. Most of us get weary with doing. You know, we visit a little bit once a week. You know, oh man, what work I've done for the Lord. You know, he got weary with not saying a word. He says, I couldn't keep your mouth shut. You know, and I made mention this a couple weeks ago. The Lord tells people don't say anything and go out publicly. You know, and God tells us to go. And well slipped. He saw the prosperity of iniquity and of the sinners there, and he said, wash my hands in them.
And he says, but then I went into the temple of the Lord. Then I found out there is. Verse 11 says, but the Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble. They shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed. They shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. It says, but the Lord of hosts that tries the heart and seeth the reins and the heart, says, let me see thy vengeance on them. For unto thee have I opened my cause. And then verse 13, this is Joachim, a thanksgiving meeting. Jeremiah starts to give thanks to the Lord. He says, what are we going to do? He says, are we going to sit around and quit? He says, no. He says in verse 13, sing unto the Lord.
Amen.
How about praise you, the Lord?
Praise.
I mean, we sing that song, the victory's won. And it is. And the world says, look around you. You guys are winning, you're failing. And you know, and yet we hear the scripture saying, you walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
I tell you what, believe God.
Amen. That's right.
And if you believe God and you're steadfast, like Romans says over there, then I don't think we could come to this place.
Yeah.
It'd be real hard to come to this place where we cry and say, God, you deceived me. Jeremiah was pretty honest there, wasn't he? Sometimes we need to be just a little bit more honest, you know? And I got to thinking about this and what Tim preached on that Lamentations. You know, there's been a couple times this year I've wanted to quit. I just really have. You know, the old job situation doesn't look up, you know? And boy, I just say, oh, what use is it, you know? I mean, let's just toss in the towel, you know, and put the book down and let's just walk the way of the world. I mean, let's not go against the grain. And I heard a guy say the other day, he says, you know, the grindings of life, they either grind you down or polish up, it depends upon what you're doing.
Amen. I love it. Amen.
If you grind it down, better check out what's material,
man. Amen.
You know, some of that grinding is good. You grind that wood, hand, stubble out of your life. You don't polish up the gold and silver. But Jeremiah came to a place that well, I think I'm at tonight. And I may not be here tomorrow, but I'm here tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I can sing unto the Lord because His faithfulness has kept me.
Amen.
His hand has kept me. You know, no one's plucked me out. I'm still there. And why? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
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 Something there.
Amen.
Ephesians 5, verse 14.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I can definitely relate this to my situation the last couple of weeks. To be honest, it says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Last Sunday, it was estimated that about half of the U.S. adult population watched the movie called The Day After.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we were all here, we were praising the Lord and thanking Him and glorifying God. That Monday morning I went to work and I've got to admit that I work with a pretty hard-hearted bunch of guys based there. And they know my Bible's out there, they see it on the desk and they see me talking all the time about it but it was really unusual, and this is why I have to praise God for it, was that after they, of course, that was a big discussion piece for the day, was that movie and what they saw, and there's about six of us that worked there in the shop, and I'll tell you, not much work got done that day, and the reason for it was because they all came to me, and they said, and they asked me, what does the Word of God have to say about
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God, you know, so I just, I went over to Matthew, and I told him about the things which must take place, which must happen, and some things in Ezekiel and Revelation. And they said, well, how can we escape that? I gave him the gospel, and you know, there was conviction there. There was conviction there. I've been praying all this time, I've been praying for these guys, and I've just been praising the Lord for my testimony to these fellows there, that it would remain strong, it would remain on the foundation
of
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And a guy came up to me yesterday with the football pool, and from another shop, and I guess the word's gotten around. Okay, so he came up to me and says, Stephanie, do you want to take chances? I said, no, sir, I never take chances.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of people out there tonight that are taking chances.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking a chance that they're going to make it the next day
right.
Without dying drop them in hell. And we need to be that light. And that light that God has indwelt us with, Jesus Christ, we need to let that light come forth. We need to wake up.
You know that when Danny was reading that, that one word just stuck out and a cross reference came in my mind. They shall not prevail.
Amen.
They shall not prevail. And all at once a verse came up in my mind over there in Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. We find that word again. Matthew chapter 16.
Amen.
You know, what gave Jeremiah the strength in the time of the situation he was in? As it said, all the outward circumstances were against him. Matter of fact, he even began to doubt God. But yet, he came to a conclusion, and before the prophet's soul, God himself was displayed. God himself came before the prophet's soul, and when he seen God, and when he got to know God in a more intimate way, he came to the conclusion, he said, they shall not prevail.
Amen.
They shall not prevail. And he said, because this one is a mighty one, and he's with me in a mighty way. And I tell you, if God be with me, and if God be for it, who can be against me? I tell you, the devils out of hell could not move me an inch.
Right.
Because, why? Because God was with me.
Well,
you know, it says over here in Matthew chapter 16, it says here in verse 18, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee.
Amen.
There again we see that word. But I want you to notice that how this word is said. He says, and shall not prevail against thee. Jeremiah came to believe, he says, they shall not prevail. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my glorious church.
Amen.
He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And listen, I tell you what that tells us. That tells us there's an ultimate victory.
Amen.
That tells us that the ultimate victory is in God's hand. And no matter what the present situation might be, no matter what the distressing circumstances might be at the present hour, I tell you this night that God has already concluded all is going to happen.
Amen.
And God's plan will be worked out.
Amen.
Because God's mighty hand is behind this plan, and his mighty power will fulfill his purpose.
Amen.
And he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
And I tell you, when the church looks like it's in its deepest hour, and when the church looks like it's in its deepest darkness, God said, Christ said, and the word stands still to this day, and when it stands still forever, it's forever settled in heaven. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
And we see backsliders on the right hand, backsliders on the left, and I say we see ones falling by the wayside. Jesus said of his church, it shall not prevail. That he said of the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. And now why is it that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church? It's because of what the church is connected to.
Amen.
I tell you, it's the reason why the gates of hell will not prevail against the church is not because of what the church is within itself, or is of itself. It's because who it's founded on, because who it's connected to, because who's for it, and that's Christ Jesus the Lord. He is the rock. And if we're on the rock, we shall not be moved.
Amen.
I tell you, let when the storms come, and he says when the winds blow, and he says when the rains come down, he says that one that's found in the rock, his house shall stand.
Amen.
But any other place that a house would be built, it's just sinking sand. All on the ground is sinking sand.
Amen.
The only rock, the one rock, the rock that shall prevail is Christ Jesus the Lord.
Amen.
The foundation is himself.
Amen.
And because the church is on that foundation,
amen,
I tell you, the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen.
When we look in the book of Ephesians, we find a book about the church. We find much about this glorious church. But why is it called the glorious church? Because it's in connection with the Lord of glory.
Amen.
We find in the first chapter it's called a body. But as a body, I tell you, it's got the greatest head. Christ is its head.
Amen.
It's called a temple. And what's in the midst of that temple? What is the center of worship in that temple? It's Christ Jesus the
Amen.
Lord. It's called a mystery. But who's the one who formed that mystery? Christ Jesus
Amen.
Is the one who formed that mystery. It's called the new man. And I tell you this night that he is the last Adam, the second.
new man.
Amen.
I tell you, in the book of Ephesians, it's called the bride. And who's its husband? But Christ Jesus himself is its husband. And this is why it's a bride adorned beautiful, because he's been adorned, because it's been adorned by Christ Jesus himself. And he's been dressed in his own righteousness. And I tell you that it's a beautiful bride because of her husband. And I tell you, in the book of Ephesians, we find that the church is not only, it's a body, not only it's a temple, not only is it the new man, not only is it a mystery, not only is it a bride, but we find in the sixth chapter it's an army.
Amen.
And why is it that the church shall go from victory to victory? Why is it that the church shall prevail? Why is it that when it comes down to the end result, that we know that the church shall be there? Because the captain of that army is Christ Jesus,
Amen,
the Lord. And this captain never loses a battle, has never won, and has already won the battle, and the foes have been spread, and he stepped out of the tomb, and I tell you that the foes have just split away, and he stands victorious, glorified, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Victory has been won, and all he does is sit and wait till his enemies be made his footstool. And every enemy of Christ Jesus shall be his footstool, and we who are his body shall be above everyone of
them. Amen. Thank you.
I mean, why is it a glorious church? Because it's connected with the glory. The glorious Lord.
Amen.
What a beautiful thing. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I tell you, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it because he says right here, I tell you why the gates, he says, this rock, he says, thou art Peter upon this rock. I tell you, Peter is the rock.
Amen.
He said, this rock, I will build my church.
Praise the Lord.
Why is it that it will prevail? Because he says, I'm the one who built it.
Right.
And when God says he's not like the builder. Like he says, when you're going to build something, he says, you better think it through.
Amen.
He says, you better count the cost, he says. Because some go to building something, and when they get to building something, all they can lay is the foundation, and they can't go any further. But my Christ says, it is finished. And I tell you, the building he's begun to build, he will complete that building, and there will be a glorious building, and he shall be the temple, and I tell you, he shall be the light of that
temple. Amen.
Amen.
The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll never forget what Danny said. And I hope you may remember this night. You forget everything else. Remember this night. You're down in that darkness. You're down in that place it seems of doom. When you're down in that place of distress and discouragement, lift up your eyes. Look on into eternity. And hear the words of Christ. He says, upon this rock I'll build my church.
Amen.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Brother Danny says, you know, he says, it's not too bad. He says, if you're in a fight, you're a boxer, you're in a fight, you get knocked down. But he says, you know, it's not too hard getting up when you know what the outcome of that fight's going to be.
Amen.
And if you know that the outcome of the fight's going to be that God has granted you the victory,
Amen.
That God has granted you ultimate victory, and that you're going to win the fight, you know what? You can keep getting up.
Amen.
Keep coming back. Because
Amen.
God says the victory is ours. He says he's given us the victory in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so, I tell you, tonight's a good night. Tonight's a glorious night. Tonight is a night of praise and thanksgiving.
Amen.
But I tell you, it's going to be a day.
Amen.
You're going to walk out of these doors and there's going to be a day of Jeremiah. There's going to be a day of Jonah. There's going to be a day of Job. There's going to be a day of Moses. There's going to be a day, I tell you, when you're in doubt and in darkness and in discouragement and when everything seems to fall apart and nothing seems to hold together. I tell you, Christ is still there.
Amen.
And Christ is still standing.
Amen.
And Christ is still the one.
Amen.
And Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
And no matter whatever happens, that purpose will be fulfilled. For the fighting power behind that purpose will work
Amen.
It out. And he's true to his word.
Amen.
And what he has promised, he is able also
Amen.
To perform and be like Abraham and say, I am sure and not waver in unbelief, but have faith and give glory to God and be fully persuaded
Amen.
Concerning
Amen.
This.
Amen.
And Christ will live his church.
Amen.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen. Amen.
Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know, I heard Lester Roloff one time, and I heard him, I don't remember exactly what it was, but he said he was having this fight over there in Texas. He's having this fight about his orphan home, and he said this older sister came up to him and said, don't worry, Brother Roloff, if you lose in this life, you're going to win in the next life. And he said, but I don't want to lose in this life, I want to win in this life. Well, you know, sort of talking about the same thing Danny and Joe was talking about. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hard iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received the thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall return unto fables. I find two apostasies, and I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but they're just a little bit different, these apostasies. And I believe that there are two different apostasies going to happen in different times. I believe the first one has already happened. I believe in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says that these people are going to come speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared to hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now I believe that great apostasy, this great war, and it looks like they won, came about during the 3rd century, the 4th century after Christ, and it just became so that Christianity was swallowed up in pagan Romanism. And that looked like it was the end of Christianity as it was originally done. And there was a war that lasted, a spiritual war that lasted all the way from Constantine all the way to Luther. And that war, back and forth. And very few people would have ventured to say that the church was going to prevail. Very few people would have ventured to say that, you know, we're on a winning battle. We are winning. And they couldn't say that. But now we look back and we see that the church won. You know, I got a book called Operation World. And, you know, it's a real simple book. All it does is it tells you about every country in the world, their spiritual needs, how many evangelicals are there, and they're all saved, but how much evangelical light there is in that place, and how much growth is every... And it just goes on and gives you the percentage of the population of how many consider themselves evangelicals. And this book blesses me like you won't believe. I think about the Reformation. During the Reformation, or right before the Reformation, evangelicals, you couldn't find. Now, they say, a lot of people say there were no evangelicals. If Martin Luther started a new thing. Well, that's not true. I just read another book that talks about what they call the Waldenses. I'm not sure how you do it. Now, these Waldenses were what modern day you'd call Switzerland. And these were in these mountains. These are these villages, these independent villages that had the Greek Orthodox manuscript for their Bible. They did not accept the Roman Catholic manuscript of their Bible. And they preached the truth for thousands of years. They ended up coming from a line from the Greek Orthodox Church, from the Eastern Church. And it came right on down, and they had the truth, even in the day of the Dark Ages, what they call the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, and that's a good name for it, Dark Ages.
Amen.
You know, these Waldenses, they lasted all the way through the Reformation until the Reformation got a hold of all their truth, and they were swallowed up in the Reformation. Now, people say, well, this, you know, there was no light in those days. Oh, yeah, there was light. And the church had not been beaten even then. But you know what blesses me? Is that even during the Reformation, even after the Reformation, all the way up until the year 1778. Now, this book I had was written in 1978, so that's why I chose that year. And they put down the percentages of the world. They give a world map, and it has, you know, shaded in by different things, you know, what the percentages of the evangelical community in any part of the world. And there were only two spots. Well, that's actually three because the other one's real small. There are three spots in all of the globe that had a percentage higher than 2% of the population. Every other one was 0.1%. One out of 1,000 or less in all of the world. This was in 1778. The three spots were New England colonies, England, and Denmark. So you think about that. That was in 1778. The rest of the world had less than 1 out of 1,000. That was the lowest you could go. Very little, if any, light
very little of any evangelical life. But in 1978, it showed again, the same map is that in 1978, and you'd be amazed, very few spots had that 0.1%. Very few. I'd like to show them that. That's blessed me. You know why? Because there's a second apostasy, and it's already come. I call it the Darwinian apostasy, because that's when it started. You get this air, you know, this scholarly type thing. You look at that in 2 Timothy, what it says. What is this second apostasy going to be like? It says, verse 3, chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. They had the truth to turn away, and shall be turned into faith. You know something it says over there? That the that we by faith understand that the heavens, that the worlds were made out of things which don't appear. That's what we by faith understand. Now you know what a fable is. A fable is, you know, that all this stuff just happened. There's a quote that I've got about Einstein, and his dream was, I remember exactly how I remember what I said, but it said his dream during all his life, he tried and tried to find his dream, he searched for to fulfill his dream. His dream was to find one theory that would explain all the forces of nature and how they began and how they all interact. And I'm telling you, he searched all his life and couldn't find it because he turned away from it.
Right.
There is an answer. Now this Darwinian apostasy looks like it's winning. It looks like it's winning. It looks like it's just gaining more and more. We're losing. But then I started thinking, there has not been any time that we can verify in history, not counting the great apostasy we're in now, this great fight we're in now, because we don't have the end of it yet. But there's not one fight in all of history, whether it's in Madagascar, whether it's in Russia, whether it's in China, not one fight in all of history, not one war waged by the devil against the church that they won. Everyone they lost. It's clear cut. You don't find one that they won. You think about Spain. They had the Great Inquisition. And Spain, you know, right now, Spain is one of the least evangelized places in the world. But Spain lost the battle. And the reason why is because look how destitute Spain is, or all of the Latin American countries. They're destitute. And now you look at the great evangelical works that are going forth in these Latin Americans. They're ripe for the harvest. I'm telling you, even Spain, which is the closest you can come to saying the church lost, even Spain, the war it waged against the church lost. And every other place, whether it's Russia, communist Russia, did you realize that the first largest, it is the largest group or largest, I don't know how to say it, you know, it's the Baptist church in Russia is larger than the Baptist church in America. You realize that Russia tried, they waged a war and lost. Did you know that during China, Brother Andrew one time visited China and he looked all over for people to smuggle their Bibles to, and he couldn't find nobody. And he said, well, I guess they won. The church is gone in China. But then all of a sudden they had this new freedom. You know, they're doing away with the Cultural Revolution. And they said, okay, now it's okay for these house churches to be okay. They can come out in the open. They can be house churches again. If somebody wants to start a house church, poof. In 1 week, there were 100,000 house churches. Not 100,000 believers, 100,000 house churches in China. Those didn't spring up in 1 week. You know, Brother Andrew thought maybe that they lost. They hadn't lost. Just the other day, I mean, it was about a year ago, 2 years ago, Brother Andrew found somebody to deliver. He delivered 232 tons of Bibles on a beach. And 80% of them got out of the country before they caught. I'm telling you, every time you can get the results, every time you can find out who won, the church won. Never lost, not yet. Never lost. And I'm telling you, even this great war that's coming now, this great big war, this attack, this great apostasy right here that says that they're going to have itching ears and shall turn away their ears from the truth, I'm telling you, the church is going to win. And the church is winning, even though it might not look like it. You know, we've been on the defensive too long. We're not really should be on the defense.
Amen.
We're winning right now.
Amen.
Can you imagine how much ridicule and how very little of good coverage of a good church we get on the news media? A good movement. You know how little coverage? I don't know what the other word is for it. Yeah, publicity. How much good publicity they would get. They get so little. We look like such disadvantage. It looks like we are at such a disadvantage. And yet right now, the church is making progress. I'm talking about the church as a whole. And I'm talking about what they call the evangelical community. It's making progress in all the countries of the world, except Europe and the United States. It's receding slightly there. But in all the other countries of the world, it's gradually going on. The communist countries. All the countries of the world, no matter how much they're attacked, you know, Christians have been slaughtered. They've been killed and massacred. They've been fed the lies.
times and all sorts of things, and here we still are. Not only are we here, but there's millions of us. The church has never lost.
Amen.
Every time you can find yourself,
the church has not lost.
Amen. Take the Reformation for example.
Amen.
It didn't lose. That first great apostasy that lasted over 1,000 years, it didn't lose. Old John Huss stood up and he preached the gospel. He preached the truth, and nobody listened to him. As a matter of fact, in Luther's day, Luther would have nothing to do with him because he was like a hated man. He wouldn't even read his books. And then after they excommunicated Luther, he said, "Get out of here." And how many times he said, "I'm not a Hussite. I don't believe like Huss." Then he finally read Huss. And he said, "Not only do I agree with Huss on some things, I agree with him altogether."
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you, Huss thought he might have lost. Pretty good news. The church hasn't lost yet. And I'm telling you, the church ain't going to lose this time.
Amen.
I'm really heartened. I believe that we are on the winning side. And it's not just because I see something that we're doing right now. It's because I can look at all history and say, yeah, the church prevails.
Amen.
The church is going to prevail.
Amen.
I'd like to just give a word to make this personal. We've been talking about the church. And a lot of times we lose sight of individuals and big things. And really, the big thing for me and for you is, what about me?
Amen.
Am I going to make it?
Amen.
Am I going to make it? That's really the thing that's important. I want you to look in Mark 8:38 first. You know, it's amazing how we can think we know something and be sure of something and do something wrong. I've quoted some verses down through my time as a preacher and been embarrassed at it later on. Tell me what the verses really mean. It says in Mark 8:38, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Now, because of that verse and other verses that are similar to that, turn with me if you go to Romans 9:33. I interpreted and have used these verses in the same light. I want you to just look at them, if you will, and see. I think that maybe maybe you haven't had this state or this error in your thinking. But in verse 33 it says, "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And the way I'd use that verse is I would, when I would witness to someone and they would be sort of hesitant about making a public profession, I would say, "Now listen, it says that whosoever shall believe on the Lord shall not be ashamed. So get up and admit, you know, that you're a Christian. Stand up and confess the Lord before men." And all the time in the back of my mind was that verse over in Mark and maybe in other places where the Lord speaks about, not being ashamed of him. But that's not what he's saying here. You look at what it says. It says, "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now, it looks like that our faith is placed in something that is utterly ashamed, that is an offense to the world. But God says if we'll believe in him,
amen,
we'll never be put to shame.
That's right. Amen.
We'll never have to back down. We'll never have to hide our face. We'll never face defeat because we are standing on the solid rock.
Amen.
Now, this rock that he's talking about is a rock of offense, but not to us.
Amen.
Because we put our hope and our confidence in him. Now, then look, if you will, in Romans 10:11. Says the same thing. "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now, listen. Today, we have God's word that we have a faith in one who will not fail. And that's the reason that we'll never be ashamed.
That's right, amen.
Now, that doesn't mean that we ought to try to do something and work up something so that God won't be ashamed of us. Now, I think really, now, I may be touching a sore spot here tonight, but I'm afraid that most of us have the idea that we have to do something for God to be pleased with us. Really. You know, we don't want to do any, and don't misunderstand, I'm not preaching out of looseness and sin. I'm not preaching a likeness and serving the Lord. What I'm saying is we've got to get our eyes off of ourselves.
Amen. That's right.
God is not going to be pleased with me because of what I do or don't do. He's pleased with me because of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I read a verse reason the Lord revealed it to me, I read a verse in Hebrews 2:11 the other day, for the first time in a different way. I've read it, but I never saw it. Verse 10 first. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sins unto glory, to make the many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, that's us, are all of one. Now he says, for which cause he is not ashamed to call him brethren.
Amen.
Now, he's not ashamed of us because we are part of him.
Right.
It has nothing to do with whether we do this. Our being accepted is because we're one and the same with him.
Amen.
He that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are one and the same. Then look, if you will, one other verse in Hebrews 11:16. Hebrews 11:16. Well, you have to go back up a little bit to get the whole thought. Look in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Look like they missed the book, didn't they? Some of those Old Testament saints that he's talking about here in chapter 11, they died. Well, Abraham, all he ever got out of the promised land was a place to be buried.
That's right.
That's all. You say, well, boy, that wasn't much, was it? Yes, it was. Because he had his faith placed in one who was eternal.
Amen.
These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, but not ashamed.
Amen.
They confessed they were not ashamed. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now we've seen people turn back. One of the most grievous things, I suppose, that we as God's people have to endure is seeing people that make a profession of faith and seemingly really have been born again and then go back into the world. And we see it all the time. And we're seeing it in San Luis, and it grieves me. I can never accept the fact that some are going to fall away. I know they are up here. But in my heart, every time one falls back into the world, I die inside. I weep. But let me tell you something. We could have done the same thing.
Right. Amen.
We could have returned to it, but we didn't. We haven't, and we shall not. If we wanted to, we had opportunity to return. But now, listen to what it says. But now, they desire a better country.
Amen.
We've got eyes on something better, haven't we? Listen, sometimes we get so busy thinking about things that we shouldn't think about. We've forgotten what our heart ought to be over.
Amen.
That better country. They desire a better country. That is in heavenly. Listen, wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared for them a city. Now it says that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren because he redeemed us. He sanctified us. The Father is not ashamed of us because we seek that city that he's prepared for us.
Amen.
Listen, we're not going to be ashamed.
Amen.
He's not ashamed of us, and we're not going to be ashamed for what we believe tonight. For our vision tonight will never be ashamed. We are not going to fail.
Amen.
We are not going to fail. Because God has already won the victory for us, and he's assured each one of us individually. Now, this is a group thing. I praise the Lord for that. The church will prevail. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, but more important to me is my brother and sister is that God has promised me that I'm for me.
Amen.
Because he that died on the cross, he died for me.
Amen.
He's my Savior. And he's not ashamed to call me brother.
Praise you all.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me pick up here in Hebrews chapter 11 for just a minute. Look at verse 32. In the chapter, it starts out real good talking about faith. And I heard Brother Roloff preaching on this one time. He said, now faith. He says, there's two ways you look at that. That means now faith. Or now faith. That's faith for now.
Faith
for this time. Now faith. This is now faith. It says, verse 32, it says, What shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, or of Barak, or Samson, or of Jephthah, or David also, of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the alien, went and received their dead, raised to life again. Now that sounds great. I praise the Lord for that. I'd like to be in there. And you hear a lot of people, especially the Catholic charismatics and a lot of these the Pentecostals and the holiness, and they're talking about fighting by the faith and how God just wouldn't have them to lose. And he wouldn't have anything bad happen to them. And if something bad happens, well, you know it for the devil. But you know, read on a little bit. In this verse here that blessed me, it says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy.
Amen.
They wandered, they were destitute, they were afflicted, they mourned, they were persecuted, they were driven out of their countries into caves, and all they had was what they could kill and put on their bodies. They had nothing. But they didn't give up their faith.
Amen. Right?
They did it for faith. That was the reason they did it. That was what sustained them through it.
Amen.
Was faith. It says, of whom the world was not
worthy. Amen.
I ask you, why was the world worthy then? You know, there's some questions in the Bible I'm not sure I know how to answer. For example, John in Revelation chapter 5, Christ. He knows him. He stands there. He's already saved. He's praying to the Lord when he's taken up into heaven. He's the prophet of God, and he sees the book that only Jesus Christ could open, the Lamb of God. And he knows the Lamb of God is there. He knows Jesus Christ is there. Anyway, when he doesn't see him, find him right away. And there's something I often wonder, why did God cry? Walk from one to another. Look at Romans chapter 8. And this verse is a blessing to me, and I probably told you this before, I don't know. Look it up. Verse 36. For as it is written, for thy sake are we killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through the Lord. Because we're counted for sheep for the slaughter, we're more than a conqueror. Well, what's more than a conqueror? I mean, a conqueror puts on the armor. He girds up the sword. He mounts for the army. He goes out and charges. He defeats the enemy. He sets up a kingdom. What's greater than that?
I'm going to the slaughter.
He says, behold what manner of love is bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of
God. Amen. Right.
How about the answer to the conqueror?
Amen.
Battle, amen.
Amen.
What's more than a conqueror? The heir of the conqueror. He just keeps the kingdom. He knows the outcome. It's won already. He was a little baby when Daddy was out winning the war. Yeah, he saw it all. The battle was won. It was cut down for him. He might have saw the bloodshed. He might have lived without food for a while the army was on the field. But you know what? He knows there's victory. The heir of a conqueror. What's more than a conqueror? The heir of a conqueror. No, the world wasn't worthy of them. No, they were the heir. They were more than a conqueror. They were there, the sons of God, of whom the world was not worthy.
Amen. Amen. Sing number 83 in the supper. Here's the supper. Sing number 83.
Anybody got a voice?
I think we can see the back cover. Number 83.
that cover. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Thank you.